Advocacy on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
But I'm not a cobbler anymore.
I'm from the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people have become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
What's up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on CW, the Flash Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can always take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app. That's on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Simply search Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand, iTunes and Stitcher, if you search DC on CW. Once you get there, leave us a review. It helps us out a lot. We really do appreciate it. As always, I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Steven.
Yo.
And Bobby.
Hello, hello.
I said Steven.
Steven. It's
Steven. It sounds so astute.
Yeah, it's first time together.
Yeah.
Steve's always been on Supergirl.
Yeah, he's, yeah. What,
are you guys going to be able to be, like, civil with each other?
We'll be totally pro, right?
Wait, what kind of pro?
What?
Don't worry about it. No, we'll be fine, dude. What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. Hey, look, it's a chemistry like thing. I bring in different people, different combinations of hosts. I never know what I'm going to get when I bring in like new things. So I know we all know each other and everything, but it's different when we're behind.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, you know what you're going to get from me on air. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah, douchebag.
Yeah, douchebag. That's what I am on this
loads
network.
Loads of bullshit.
Yeah. Well, loads of bullshit that entertains people. Anyways, so let's go ahead and jump into today. We'll be talking about Flash Season 4, Episode 3, Luck Be a Lady. The team battles a new metahuman who has sudden change of luck. This episode is pretty interesting to me, and I'm actually looking forward to talking about it because this is a different type of meta. And we haven't really seen someone, she doesn't really have full control over her powers, and really she doesn't even think she has powers to begin with. And I think that is what makes this completely different. Also too, it's, I think at some point everyone in their lives runs through a run of the mill, like bad luck, and has that feeling of like the whole world is going to murder you, or is like out to get you. And I think that this one was pretty relatable too. Like I can tell you that right now, that there were some scenes I was like, oh God, I know what that feels like. So I don't know, man.
I'm so confused. The whole world's going to murder you?
Well, the whole world's out to get you. Okay. I just used the wrong words. I was trying to make it way more dramatic.
Man, you just turned it into like, it went from a like, oh, just like bad luck story to be like
really morbid.
Some murder psycho killers after you all the time.
Whatever, man. You know, that's how life is. You know, sometimes the world's out to get you, and sometimes you just got a bunch of people trying to murder you. Right?
All right.
That's pretty standard, right? That's a thing. It's not.
No,
it's not a thing. Oh.
Well, no, it's not.
It's not a thing.
Oh. You should change your friends.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So, hey, guys, it was nice knowing you.
I'm worried about who you're hanging out with when you're not with us. Yeah, if you're worried about getting murdered.
Yeah. Well, you know, man, it's just a little bit of murder. It's not that big of a deal. You know, like, don't be a dick. It's just
murder. They're fake guns you're shooting, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Typically. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump into some news. The first article we have here, Flash Season 4 spoilers, Danielle Panabaker teases Killer Frost's return. So if you guys can't hear my eyeballs rolling back in my head, I'm going to go ahead and read some of this article here. And if you guys were on the last show, then you know how I feel about this. Now, Killer Frost will be making a huge comeback in Season 4, Episode 5 of CW's The Flash. In a recent interview with Entertainment Weekly series, star Danielle Panabaker revealed that Killer Frost will take over Caitlin once again during Iris's bachelorette party. When Killer Frost shows up, Iris has a lot of compassion for Killer Frost and a lot of compassion for Caitlin, and is pivotal in helping Caitlin reconcile herself with her past and some of the mistakes that Killer Frost made, Panabaker teased. So it sounds like we're going to get some sort of like you know, bachelorette party, funny episode with Killer Frost crashes the party. Is that what it sounds like to you?
I think she's going to get white girl wasted and turn into Killer Frost.
Oh, my God.
At the bachelorette party?
Yes.
Dude.
She's just going to be having fun, and then she can't control it anymore. Because you know how girls get when, like, oh, right? Do not chicks.
Whatever,
Iris. I would fuck you up anyway.
I would kick your ass.
And then all of a sudden it just, like, turns.
And she just, like, changes to wasted Killer Frost. Do you think she'll be drunk still?
No, she'll be sober.
No, she should be drunk. It'd be better.
Drunk Killer Frost.
Yeah, drunk Killer Frost. Just, like, fucking freezing people for no reason. Ugh. You know, like,
yeah,
that.
Fuck you, bitch.
Fuck yeah. I'll fucking freeze you.
So basic.
Fucking bitch. So anyways, there's another portion of this where it looks like Daniel goes on to say the 6 months between the end of season 3 and the beginning of season 4 for Caitlin are not completely addressed from the beginning. But we are going to start. It's going to be hopefully a slow burn as we start to see a little bit more about what Caitlin was up to and her struggle over the last 6 months. And then, unfortunately, as tends to happen, things that we try to keep secret find a way of bubbling to the surface, and sometimes in an inopportune moment. So
you mean the typical DC TV thing? We don't tell everybody anything.
We lie to each other.
And then we wonder why things go wrong.
Yeah, we lie. So basically it's, hey, I'm going to lie to you about this huge pivotal thing. And then you know what? It's going to come back to bite us in the ass later. And we're going to learn a valuable lesson. But then next season, we're going to do the same thing over. Right? That's typically what we see, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, you know, you would think by now, if the character development of these characters was going the right way, that they would learn from these mistakes.
You mean that they would develop?
Yeah, you would think. Yeah, you would think. But over time, you know, lying to each other just seems like the best thing to do. I mean, you know, just keep that secret and not say.
And it's not that I drank your last soda out of the refrigerator. Live.
Right. It's like, hey, guess what? I killed your brother or some, you know, crazy shit like that.
Or I'm still an evil meta.
Yeah. It's one of those things, dude. I think, you know, I'm hoping that they do the 6 month, you know, giving us that slow burn and telling us what she was doing. I am interested in that.
Like flashbacks, like Arrow style flashbacks?
I don't want Arrow style flashbacks. I want them to be very much just tidbits of what was going on. Or if it's really pertinent to her, why she can't control changing into Killer Frost, then sure, give us flashbacks, but do them correctly.
Or she just talks to it and says, it, you know, this is what
went down.
That's
fine too. I don't want tons of exposition either though. So it's really got to be done correctly. With the slow burn, I'm okay with it. But the thing is, and we had this conversation, I think, the first episode, you know, Bobby and I made a beard for beard bet on whether or not Caitlin's going to fall on some dick again this season.
Doesn't count if it's chip or dick when she's drunk.
What? Hey, dude, that does count. That's still falling on some dick, dude. So one of us is losing a beard if that happens. But the fact of the matter is I don't want this to be, you know, and I had this whole thing where it was like Killer Frost. I was like, oh, God, can we just get one or the other? So if it's done correctly, I'm cool with it. And I love her as Caitlin. I think she's integral to the team, but at the end of the day, the whole Killer Frost dynamic is, that's all it was last year. It was like, oh, can I turn? Will I turn? If I'm going to turn, can I turn? When, where, how? Like it got old quick for me. So if they do this right, I'm okay with it.
So but, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're okay with like a Bruce Banner type turn?
Yes. Yes.
But isn't this the same thing?
Yes. So, so that was the thing with last season. It was much more, it wasn't Bruce Banner turn. It was, if I don't wear this amulet, I'm going to turn.
Right.
And then it was like, it just seemed like everything relied around that.
Okay.
Like she couldn't just have a story that had nothing to do with Killer Frost. Like it was always teasing that. With this, yes, this is a Bruce Banner turn, and I'm okay with that because she has no control over it.
Okay.
But I don't want her story to just completely revolve around that. If that makes sense. That sounds kind of dumb, but it really, I want them to focus more on her, I guess, and not falling.
Will
on
there
penis.
Ever be like a scene where you look at them, turn to her and be like, we really need her right now. Bring her out.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Like what if the dynamic changes and she becomes a good Killer Frost and becomes part of the team in that way?
See, I'm okay with that. And the reason being though, that point, it has to be done again. It has to be done correctly. You can't just say, you know, oh, she just changes like sporadically. Now, if she has control over it and she has control over Killer Frost, that's different. So I think that's what we were battling with last year, is that she had no control and it just kind of like, I don't know. It just seemed like it was forced in every scene that she was in. So I don't know. You know, we'll see. I'm excited because I do love Caitlin. And she's way hotter as Killer Frost. Let's be completely honest, but you know, we'll see where this is going to go. All right. Now we have one more article we're going to cover. The Flash poll: should Wally West join Legends of Tomorrow? As we saw in this episode, Wally was going to, was it Blue Valley?
This will be our only Wally West coverage, so get this out of the way now during this story.
Okay, so he leaves to Blue Valley, which nobody gave a flying fuck about, and I know I didn't give a shit about. But let me go ahead and read the article. Team Flash lost one of their own, although unlike other goodbyes, this one isn't because of death. At the close of Luck Be Lady, Wally West announced his plans to leave Central City, which everyone had rejoiced. At least everyone that I know rejoiced. While it might seem like an unceremonious end to a character who the Flash never really gave a chance, this should be viewed as the beginning and not ending for Wally West. Wally seemingly exiting the Flash opens a door for him to join the series. He truly belongs on Legends of Tomorrow. So, you know
what's funny about this? So when he disappeared, did you guys, you know, because at the end when he, you know, when he disappeared, he's like, "Hey, I wasn't here. Nobody noticed." Did you guys notice?
No, I didn't notice.
I turned to Nicole and I was like, "I seriously forgot he was even on the show."
You forgot he existed?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's typically because he's worthless on the show. I hate to say that. But he's had his moments, but overall.
But they've turned what is a beloved character in the comics into
a whiny.
This.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
even though he's gotten better, but it's hard.
He started out as a shithead.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, I think totally. That really. Starting out as a shithead on the show really destroyed a lot of people. I mean, I know you were you love Wally West, and you were completely bummed about the way he was portrayed.
Yes.
And
he,
I think
he turned around.
Absolutely turned around, but he's still awful.
But it's hard to it's well, yeah, you're right though. It's one of those things. Just because I do like a nice thing today doesn't make everything you know, that I've done over the last 10 years that it's been shitty better.
I mean, look, guys, I could do the greatest thing today, and you guys are still going to think I'm a douchebag no matter what I do.
And then you would be totally. Like, because you know why?
I remember that one time.
Remember that one time.
Yeah. You guys remember that one time I did that thing?
Remember that one time that I bought you them comics you wanted? Yeah. Remember that one time?
Remember? Yeah, that's, dude, it doesn't matter. So why, well, first of all, I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. But the fact of the matter is with Wally, you took this character that everyone loved and you turned him into a whiny ass bitch. And then you tried to save him by kind of cooling him up a little bit and not making him less of a whiny bitch, but it still wasn't good enough. And I think, you know, and Steve, you are absolutely correct. When he was gone, I didn't even fucking notice he was gone and I didn't care.
Yeah. I had to stop for a second and, like I said, look at Nicole and be like, I did not notice he was gone this whole time. So it was kind of felt as if you were a part of the cast themselves.
The thing is, though, that was done correctly, though.
Yeah, for sure.
That scene was done correctly where you're like, holy shit, I didn't notice him. That was the writers in the writer room going, watch this. We're going to fuck with him and get super meta right here. And it truly, I was like, fuck me, right? Like, I really didn't notice him. And the thing is, here's what I'll tell you this right now. Do I think he should be on Legends of Tomorrow? Absolutely. And here's why. I think he fits better on that cast than he does with Flash. Flash has too many people in Team Flash area. And, you know, now that we got Cisco running around and fucking being a superhero too, you've got too many people. You've already got too many speeders. That's why they got rid of Jesse Quick and put her on the other Earth. So
yes,
now,
and that's the thing. It's you can't have similar powers be together because it's just like
it makes no fucking sense.
They'll cool. They're running together real fast.
Meet. Okay, great, awesome. You're running fast together. Cool. Like I just bring
you're,
him back.
You're for, a fucking track team.
Yeah,
essentially. Team. Yeah,
bring him back if it's really neat. Like it's needed. You know, like a big bad or whatever, a final battle. But truly, I think he'd shine on Legends of Tomorrow, and I think he would be able to kind of carve out his own place there.
Carve out the true Wally West.
Yeah. And I think that's really what we want. I think I would love to see him with Jax, like because I think they kind of have the same personality.
Because they're black?
Because they're black. Wow. Exactly. You went there. Wow. Not what I meant, but I think, you know, they have the same type of personality.
You guys should room together. You guys got a lot in common.
Yeah. Do you like Dr. Dre? I like Dr. Dre. No, I feel like they really do have the same type of personality, and I think it would be fun to watch them interact with each other, even with Adam. Like, I think there's characters on there that would suit him, and I think that's what I would like to see. I mean, what do you guys think? I truly think he would fit on there.
No, I go with what you said, that it's because he has a unique power that Legends does not have currently on their show, that it would work with what they do on that show. and he is lost because he will never be Barry Allen. So why, you know, it's no different than like a sports team and the guy wanting to be the big star by himself.
You can't have two LeBron James on the fucking same team. Yeah,
somebody,
it doesn't work.
Somebody's just going to be angry about it if you're not the right kind of team player. And Wally has kind of shown that he's not willing.
Not a team player.
Well, essentially, here's the thing. I'm going to relate him to another character on Arrow. He's exactly like Renee. Renee started off as this character that we all fucking hated, but they've progressed his character into a team player. With Wally, they did not progress his character into a team player, and he's just there. And I think that's
the happiest he's ever been is when Barry was trapped.
Barry right. was gone in the Speed Force, and he was the Flash.
Team Kid Flash. That was his big thing, right?
And so here's the thing.
It was never, how can we get my friend out?
Yeah, how can we get my...
This is my brother.
Yeah, how can we get him out? Oh, just kidding. You know, I want
to
be Flash.
I finally got Joe to myself.
Yeah, woo! So I truly think that he would fit on Legends. You know, now if they bring him over there, that's who knows. But I truly do believe that it would fit.
Yeah, I don't think it would happen this season, but I could see him if, you know, as they rotate through cast members, why not bring him, give him a shot on there?
Yeah, I mean, who can we get rid of on Legends anyways? I mean...
People are going to die soon.
Yeah. I'm two episodes behind, so.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think, I truly do believe that, he would be a good fit. All right, guys. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about season 4, episode 3, Luck Be a Lady. But first, quick break.
Oh, I got this one. He's,
Mirror Master.
What the
boom? That's good.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
But at the same time, then you wouldn't have this feeling that, okay, so Lucifer's just what? Sitting on his hands and knees?
With King Shark.
You're getting,
I was getting a shark tattoo. And like, what I watched the episode after.
The way it ended. I mean, you end it with Rey climbing the mountain, holding out the lightsaber to Luke. And
funny
Luke
that some of my favorite Westerns are coming from the Euro countries. Mm-hmm. To this day, directors and writers are able to bring the heat in terms of American.
I mean, don't be wrong, Mad Max was really good, but they washed out a lot of it to kind of hide the special effects that they were doing.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen for the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
Open Sesame!
So do you guys, I don't want to just be the talking head here. Do you guys disagree or agree with the writer of Trekonomics?
I like the replicators and holodecks. My generation, which is not that far off from y'all's, grew up with TNG, and I don't know, that's just became a staple of it. So,
But do you see how it can pose story problems in terms of character motivation? Like, put yourself in their shoes. If you had everything, you just said jokingly that you would never leave if you had a replicator and a holodeck. Exactly. I'd be like, computer, DePaul and Deanna Troi, please.
Oh my God.
And 7 of 9.
Star Trek from the holodeck, exclusively on Rain Man Digital. Go to RainmanDigitalMedia.com or Patreon.com/RainmanDigital.
End simulation.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcast, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. With premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW, Supernational, The Crossroads, that other show that I'm on, and more. So head over to patreon.com/Rainman Digital and sign up today. Guys, please do it. We want to do a wrestling show, for the love of God.
Yes.
Please,
all,
please, please.
That's all what Ryan's
yes,
about is the
yes,
wrestling
yes,
show right now.
Yes, wrestling show. Do it. Do it.
Well, I'm not plotting to kill Barry Allen. I'm listening to Rainman Digital's DC on CW.
I can't not dance to this song.
Sorry.
All right, guys, we're back. This segment, we're going to talk about Flash Season 4, Episode 3, Luck Be a Lady. This one was directed by Armin V. Kevorkian. When he's not killing people, he's writing episodes, apparently. And written by Sam Chalson and Judalina Neera. I'm sure I got those wrong. But so, we now have our Jan for our Brady Bunch opening, as we get introduced to the unluckiest woman in the world.
I just wanted to let you guys know there was a reason I was playing Brady Bunch.
Yeah, oh, I knew. Dude, I read the notes. I was like, this is perfect. God, fucking Brady Bunch, dude. We're getting there, dude. I really hope that we get a shot where it's just their heads and they're all turning and look at each other.
And the thinker in the middle.
Yeah, just him in the middle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? You like it. I mean, come on. Let's just jump right into Becky Sharp, our character, Lady Luck, or whatever you want to call her. They do a really good job of giving us a quick kind of intro and setting her up as being the most unlucky person in the world. The chain of events that leads her to where she, you know, basically ends up is unbelievable. And I'm not going to lie, and I talked about it in the first segment, but there has been times when I've had shit stack on me like that, and you're just like, what in the fuck did I do wrong to piss off, you know, whoever is wishing this bad juju on me? Like, no joke. You know, let's start off. Boyfriend cheating on her. And, you know, not to get down on Becky, but the other chick was way hotter.
Well, they also kind of ugged her up.
They ugged her up. Yeah, they did ug her up. Let's be completely honest. They made her look like a, you know, an uggo for sure.
Yeah, they
she wasn't horrible looking.
No, but they like,
no, but
she
once she
got
dolled up, and
dolled up,
good.
It looked
yeah.
a lot better. So
yeah, she put that red dress on. I was like, oh,
it was right. weird how they did show that transformation. You know, from yeah. the bad luck to the I'm going to give you bad luck.
Well, it was like she, you know, they gave her the car with the boot. You know, and not just one. It
multiple.
Was multiple cars, dude. Like, how the hell does that happen? Or, why do you
say?
Keep getting boots? You not know how to pay your, you know, like, I'm just confused.
What did she say? This is the eighth one? So yeah. So she just leaves seven other cars behind?
Dude,
or
you know what, man? Sometimes you just got to leave a car behind. It's like Grand Theft Auto, dude. You get tired of that right. car. You're just like, fuck that car, dude. You go steal another one. You pull some dude out and fucking jump in, right? That's what she was doing. She loses her job, which, by the way, first of all, I'm going to point this out. I'm going to nitpick here. But there's cameras in every fucking corner of a casino.
Right.
And if he grabbed her ass, there's no way she's getting fucking fired for that. Just saying, right?
I'm just saying that they still haven't showed pictures of anything with the shooter.
Fair.
That's okay. Fair enough. But
fair.
Fair enough.
And of
they
course,
might be holding
that
information.
That also goes with the bad luck thing, though.
Right.
The cameras broke at that moment in time.
Yeah,
there was that, you know, they all just shut off.
What a unfortunate time when this guy grabs my ass.
Yeah.
You know, like, she did look good, though, in her work outfit. She did look good in that. She didn't look like an uggo in that.
I don't mind her. It was the voice.
I don't remember. I don't even
It was
remember.
Very was mousy and
well, yeah, that's got to be, that's not her, like, that
It's actress. Called 411 it's, fucking lungs.
411. Oh my God!
Remember, she's short.
You can only.
Oh my God!
Minutes
I
show like this. Like,
yeah, I have the worst luck ever.
My voice box isn't very long, because I'm short.
Well, there's a way of stretching it out. You put those rings around your neck, right? Well, you thought I was going somewhere.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
I mean, I could have went that route. Just take a bigger.
Let me stretch
down
that voice box for you.
One of the jokes I did like was the MySpace joke by Thinker, which I'm like, MySpace, really? So he's
is that still a thing?
Yes,
MySpace
it is
still a thing. It is not like
I think
know,
it's a music more of a music, band type thing now.
After Timberlake got his money into it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, that guy's not hurting for cash. But the fact of the matter is like, for them to make a weird
MySpace joke,
you know, it's kind of...
What if, like, Tom was their only friend? Was it Tom?
Oh, it was Tom, dude. Tom was their only friend. Oh, her,
no,
Tom
he
was her
even
friend?
Got rid of her.
Oh, man. Her top eight spaces are empty. She got nobody.
It was just such a random, like, thing to say.
I mean, Facebook would have made sense. But MySpace, come on now. Thinker. You're killing me. Okay, you know, obviously they set her up. They gave her the nice intro to tell us, you know, how just fucked up, you know, and unlucky.
It was a quick, like, you know, just cut scenes, the way to make you like go, wow,
oh, shit, this sucks.
This is horrible.
And like I said, dude, I've had
The lactose intolerant thing,
right? And then she gets dairy and like almost poops her pants, and she walks into her house and her boyfriend's and he's like, I will come back in 5 to 10 minutes and we will handle this. Like, and she has to go take a shit. Like, that's, dude, that's the worst, man. You heard me say no dairy, right? And then, yeah. She runs home to find.
The only thing better would have been her.
She shit her pants.
For her to be in the background and him just like still railing that chick. Go, honey, I know you're busy, but we're out of toilet paper. can you pass me some toilet paper?
we're out. We have no toilet paper.
Oh God, that's awful. Gross. Fuck. I know I've had months like that where you're just like,
where you shit your pants.
Yeah, well, I have shit my pants, but not recently. But I definitely have had months like that where it's just, you know, the luck just keeps stacking against you, and it's the worst, dude. It really is. You feel like someone's out to get you. I did like how we got an explanation of how all these new metas, I think 12 to be exact, right, got their powers. And what do you know? It's fucking Barry's fault. What do you know?
I'm gonna go Team Flash.
No, that's Barry, dude. Come on. It's Barry's fault. Everything is Barry's fault. Come on, Bob. We know this by now.
It actually did say Barry's fault, and I switched
you changed
it to
the team.
Fault.
You didn't want to put it on Barry?
No.
Dude, it is Barry's fault. Like, yeah, it's the team's fault. And one of the things that I did really like about this was they showed that it was the Thinker putting all these in motion, these things in motion to get them to get Barry to come back, you know, and that was really cool to me.
But that still goes to my theory. I think the Thinker released Barry at that moment.
You think really? He has control over the Speed Force?
Only reason I think so is because, you know, when they, again, I've said this 3 episodes in a row now, that red ball was supposed to take his place. That red ball never moved.
It never went there.
And so, and then he just shows up on some random, you know, corner with a bus there.
Well, sometimes you got to show up on random corners, you know.
Oh, all naked style, like the fucking Terminator?
Yeah, dude. Dun, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. And you just come. That's how they should have had Barry come back, like the fucking Terminator.
Naked with lightning?
Yeah, naked, yeah. Lightning around him, the fucking ground turns into a half, you know, sphere. Dun, 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 dun. Have you seen this kid? It's fucking John Connor.
It's Wally. It's Wally. Have you seen this kid Flash?
Have you seen this kid Flash? Oh my God, I would have died, dude. But I definitely think it's funny that, you know, if you want to call it the team's fault, whatever. I thought it was Barry's fault. It makes it way more better. Way better. Whatever. Way more better. Way more better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just... So let me ask you this. So we found out that's how she got her powers, and you saw Kilgore, right? Uh-huh. Sitting in, did you go, oh, you start looking at the other people like, when are they going to show up? I found myself looking at the other people on the bus.
They didn't give too much of a shot of it though, right?
They only gave us two other people that you could see.
But who was standing by the bus, you know?
Oh yeah,
you know, there's going to be residuals.
Well, there's got to be other people. There was how many boxes were up on that screen? I mean, there was
12.
I think there's 12.
And there were 12 people in the bus.
Was there?
Yeah, I think they said there were 12 in the bus.
Like the bus lady is one of them.
Sure, her special ability is driving buses.
It's like through time.
It's like auto.
Dude, she's her her special ability is she's speed. So she can only go over 55, and if she doesn't, she blows up. That's come on, you know that's a good one.
So what if you were on the bus, Ryan? Yeah. What would your meta power be?
Like, it's the short bus, right?
Oh wow, that's a funny.
So Kilgore was like, techno. You know, tech. This was a bad luck lady.
Okay, so obviously it has to have something to do with your life, right? Now, obviously, Kilgore was tech because he was a tech guy.
Yeah, it's something new with like your personality or your life, like your life.
So I become super douche guy. Like that's I get what more I was douchey.
Like just like a giant douchebag.
Just a giant.
Like
douche.
I start slicking my hair up and I like fucking start wearing like you know I look like basically Jersey Shore. Is that what I become? Yeah. Is that that's me?
Maybe Steve. What do you think yours would be?
He would get more anal. He'd be even more OCD.
Captain
than he really
OCD.
Yeah, Captain OCD. Yeah.
Just rearranging everything.
I'd be like Rain Man.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I need 17 more Neil Adams. Definitely.
Yeah. I'll count boxes of toothpicks. That's what I'll do.
Oh God.
Well, you got to think it's got to be some meta power that you can use against Barry.
Dude, he will. He'll level all his like pictures in his house multiple times.
Yeah. Everything will be organized.
Mine would end up being like I would put people to sleep. I'd be the napper.
The napper?
You guys have seen me fall asleep everywhere.
That's true. I have seen you fall asleep.
You've seen me fall asleep on a convention floor.
Comic-Con at a convention floor out cold.
Yeah. So
I don't know. The napper or
but like if you do it.
No. I know what yours would be. Not the napper's good. Napper's good. Yours would be disappear and reappear, man, because you fucking do that at conventions. You disappear, and I'm like, where the fuck Bob go? 12 seconds later, boom, you show up from nowhere.
Yeah, see, but I don't know if that's something I could use as a meta power.
Nightcrawler, dude. You're like fucking just fucking all over the place.
The apparition.
I just like the fact that I could just walk through and people just start falling asleep around me.
Oh, you're like Father Time.
Yes.
I could see that.
Like narcolepsy? Yeah. That's your name?
Cisco gives you narcolepsy? What a great name. I did like... With what did her name end up being? What did they name her? Hazard, right?
Yes.
I did like how they made her bad luck project onto people around her. And I think what was cool was the first portion of it, she was very oblivious to the fact that she was a meta. Like she didn't really like she just thought everyone else was having bad luck and her luck had changed. And I thought that was cool that the more pissed off she gets, the more it projects around her. I thought that was pretty interesting. For her. And I think giving her kind of an ignorance to it made it more like, ooh, this is more powerful because she didn't know that she was doing it to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I think that what makes it a bit more sketchy of a villain than just someone who knows that they have powers. Because if you don't know and you just think it's random, then you just live your life, right? At that point.
Yeah.
So it becomes even more scary. The scene that really kind of threw this over for me was when they were at Jitters and, you know, Barry sat down and of course the line where she's like, he's like, you probably were wondering how I know your name. Oh, it's on my fucking right. Starbucks cup or my Jitters cup. Like I thought that was funny as shit. But I definitely thought that scene was even, I was kind of on the edge of like watching. I'm like, oh God, dude, like this is really tense. Like, you know, this could be, that could blow up. That baby's going to take a nail to the forehead. Like there was so many things going on in there. I was like, holy shit, this could be bad.
Yeah. And you're thinking, you could feel for Barry, who recognizes all that stuff going on and knowing that he's causing it.
Well, you have to remember too, that Barry can see that in slow motion, right?
Right.
So he's watching this fucking nail gun get pointed right at that kid's head, like multiple times. And then the guy goes and turns and looks at it like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I'm just like on the edge of my couch. Like, God, is something going to happen here? Like, it really was nerve wracking to watch that whole scene, you know? But yeah, Barry kind of like realizes, holy shit, this is my fault. Right?
It was a cool way for them to create suspense without like, it's not like it was CGI porn with this meta.
Right. You didn't have to do
that. You didn't have to do it. It was just like, watch all these people screw up somehow.
Yeah. That was the most nerve wracking part about it is that she wasn't, you know, she's not controlling this. Like this is not, she's not trying to make that happen. It's just happening. And
yes.
I think that's what makes it scary. You know, that was pretty interesting alone. Have we ever seen one of the things I wanted to point out too is that when Barry finally does take her down, did we ever see those power dampening cuffs before?
I think they've used them on
who was it? Because I feel like we've seen them, but I couldn't remember.
I can't remember offhand, but it was another one of the metas that uses their hands.
Was it the guy with the magic cards?
It might have been Double Down.
Yeah, I was going to say, Double Down, I think they used it, right?
Yeah, it might have been Double Down that they used it on.
That's a cool-looking prop.
Yeah.
There's some things on the show where I'm like for example, when there's a scene where the camera is in the actual, like, box, and you've got Wells and Cisco trying to work on it, and you can kind of tell that it was a flimsy box, that they were – it didn't look quite techy enough, I guess, for the particle accelerator. And I was like, ah, that looks kind of jank. I mean, obviously, I'm being very nitpicky.
Yeah,
but
you're a fucking prop whore.
Yeah, I am a prop whore. So like seeing those cuffs with the lights on them and everything and the way they looked was a really cool looking prop. It definitely was something that I was like, oh, they took a little extra time making that, I think.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I
know well, it's probably because dumb. They've used it 3 times now.
Yeah. Who they use it on someone? They use on Barry himself in this one, too.
Yeah.
When she's on the slot machine, which I thought was freaking great. But yeah, it was really interesting. One of the things that I really thought was cool, and I couldn't quite discern if it was Hazard or not, was that the whole team was kind of affected by, bad luck. And it seemed like it was just, and after like the second thing, I'm like, oh shit,
it was too convenient.
It really was. Well, do you think it was? Well, obviously, towards the end, it was Hazard. But yes. At the beginning, do you think it was just them projecting bad luck onto themselves?
I don't know. I think because Barry was around her, he had residual from her.
See,
residual juju.
And then he took it back to, took it back to the hive.
They should have described that. They, like, because she gives off, dark matter or whatever, maybe Barry got the residual, like you said, bad juju. And that was why that bad luck was happening to everyone else.
But and again, you also talked that she wasn't really always in control of her powers. So who knows like how much like I mean, because they weren't major things that were going wrong per se.
Right. Well, besides Wally getting broken up with. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
But that wasn't because of her.
Yeah.
That was because of him.
Never mind. I was going to say something. But I definitely think. It that would be a cool way to describe it, Steve, if like that was the reasoning.
That was my takeaway as I watched it. I figured he just brought it with him.
I just thought it was coincidence.
And that's the beautiful thing about not telling us all the time. Leaves it open to interpretation. We have, two people right now that watched it and saw it 2 different ways. So, and it's always, what do you believe in? Do you believe in bad luck? Or, do you believe that like the metahuman took over? If you're not into those type of things, I was like, I'm not a big luck believer anyways. Yeah. It just shit happens sometimes.
I don't know, man. I think you're right, Bob. I think not telling us, you left it up for interpretation for you, for me, for Steve.
Well, yeah, and there's a psychology there, right? The whole thing is about projecting the probability of things whether she was projecting it directly or people were projecting it on themselves.
I definitely like that. I like when shows give you the idea, like for example, I'll use this as a big example, but like for example, Inception. At the end of Inception, is he in a dream? Is he not in a dream? Who knows? It's up to me to interpret. It's up for you to interpret it. It's all different. And I think that's what made this decision not to kind of tell us was cool. Like, okay, I can come kind of form my own opinion and, who's to say I'm wrong at that point. I did think that some of the things that they did were a little interesting, like, Iris wanting to get married right away and they funeral crashing. Like, dude.
Shotgun wedding.
Ugh.
That's a nice box. Or what did she say about the coffin?
Something like that, dude.
It was just like, you're like, terrible.
It was bad, dude. It was bad. Like I love how Barry's like, why did you invite me to a funeral? Like, is this the funeral for our relationship? Like, what's going on here? Because this is weird. I don't know. That was just creepy, dude.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was one of those things, again, at the beginning, you saw them have good luck with it. Whoa, so-and-so is not getting married now. Having our date opened up at our favorite spot. Yeah. Then it was like all of a sudden rushing into it.
It was one. I think she saw the bad luck going on and was like, fuck it, let's go get married now. Which again, the bad luck affected that because the priest basically just fucking keels over from cinnamon.
Yeah.
Did you notice one of the things the little shit kid was like, yeah, I did that on purpose, man. Like, did you notice
look,
that?
Yeah, the look on his face. I looked at Nicole and was like, what's going on here?
Well, dude, he's probably getting raped
That's where I was going with it, and you said the R word.
Yeah, I went there with it, dude. I'll say it, dude. I have no problem. Yeah, that was funny, dude. That little shithead dude was like, yeah, I fucking gave it. He's like Bart Simpson, dude. He gave him a fucking cinnamon incense.
Well, his face got fucked like super fast, man.
Fuck yeah,
I thought he was like a meta at first. Like, what's going on
with
this guy?
Yeah, he was a meta for – never mind.
No, Jesus.
Anyways, I mentioned it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Wally getting broken up via breakup cube. Am I the only one that laughed? I laughed. Did you guys laugh?
I liked the breakup cube. It was good.
I think that's going to happen. I feel like, well, I'd have to actually get in a relationship.
I was going to say, you're going to make a bunch of them?
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. Just break up cubes.
There's just like after Ryan's one night stands, he just gives him like this jack in the box and it's a break up
cube. And it pops out and
it's
here, all, here's your Uber.
Go home.
Here's your Uber. Here's your Uber is here. Hajim is driving a Prius picking you up.
Oh, wow.
It's true, dude. It's true. No, dude, I laugh my ass off. Well, I laugh my ass off because, one, it's hilarious, and watching Wally get fucking shit on is hilarious. But two, I've had a form of breakup cube. When I was in high school, I was dating this chick, and she broke up with me over text message. And I know what it feels like to get the old, like, you know, oh, I'm too much of a wuss to tell you in person type response.
Yeah, but she didn't have her dad come and break up with you.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
I just ghosted the shit. I feel horrible about it now. I just ghosted chicks.
Like, you like didn't even respond to anything?
No.
You're a dickhead.
I guess I was the apparition. I just disappeared.
That's Steve's side ability is he just ghosts.
I just ghost.
Dude, the ghosting is the worst, dude.
There was no label for it when I was young.
Yeah, and back in Steve's age, it was easy.
Yeah.
He didn't have a cell phone.
There was no cell phone, social media.
He just never fucking showed up again.
Yeah. His landline went dead. Like, he just unplugged it. Oh, man, that's fucked up, dude.
I know.
I did like how Tom Cavanaugh played the awkwardness, like, really, really, really good as Wells. Like,
well, that it makes you miss Earth 2 Wells.
Yes. Yes. That it really did make me miss him and being around with his dry sense of humor and, you know, especially that awkward situation. Having to tell your basically your daughter's boyfriend that, hey, your daughter's breaking up with, like, it just, dude, that's so awkward.
What did it say? I thought you had total recall. I do, but I don't. You know, and just everything he said, it was just like, I'm coming back here to play a little bit. My daughter just told me to bring this to you, you know?
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, there is probably no worse way of getting broken up with.
I don't know. Getting ghosted.
I mean, ghosts. Okay. So let me ask you a question, Steve. Let me go on a tangent here. When you ghosted them, were you actually dating them? Like, were you boyfriend and girlfriend, or was it just a one night stand, or like you were hanging out a couple times? Like, were you boyfriend and girlfriend and just completely ghosted them?
Well, it depends. So there was a couple instances where, to your point, it was just, you know, we hung out a few times, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the fling thing, right? Yeah. And then it just, there was no chemistry, right? And I could have been a bigger person. And then
you could have been, but you're not. So
the worst one. And
I could have been, but it was easier.
It was easier. The worst one was I lived with a girl for a while, and we were roommates, and it was like the friends with benefits thing. And she just turned out to be like psycho, like crazy. And I couldn't deal with it anymore. And I had my neighbor and my parents showed up, and I moved out while she was at work. And she came home to an empty apartment. We had a 3,300 square foot loft. And she came home and it was empty. And I left a note on the floor right when you walked in the door.
Oh my God!
I've been robbed.
Well, all her shit was still there. I took my shit.
Where's Steve's shit? What the fuck? Someone stole Steve's.
What if she never found that note and thought Steve's dead?
No, my phone was blowing up like almost immediately.
Oh my God.
And listening.
Wait, how long ago was this?
I don't know. Early aughts, like 2002.
I hadn't met you yet. So
no,
I don't know
this was in Illinois, man. Okay, and I feel horrible about it looking back on it. I could have handled it totally better. But
you
man,
think? Jesus it, Christ.
Oh, the,
that chick is like man-hating lesbian right now.
No, she got married. She got married, but I, man, yeah.
She shaved her head into it like a fucking flat top. She's.
She had every right to be upset, but
so what was it like to date Rose McGowan?
Oh my God, I'm fucking crying. Oh Jesus. Woo, that's good stuff.
So that's my confession.
Oh, wow.
Do you feel better about yourself? Yeah.
Father, I have sinned.
Here's some cinnamon fucking
right. Incense. Let me go choke for a minute.
All right, so after that fucking bomb that we just heard, that's amazing. let's talk about the bomb that happened in the episode at the very end. Joe is going to have another kid.
I put that in the bad luck thing.
That is fucking big. That's bad. Big time bad
Those
luck.
Were the residuals.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being like, I got him out of the house finally.
And now I'm going
to
have
my house to myself.
Fucking
shit. You mean his broken ass house that was flooded.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I hope he doesn't. I dude, like, this is.
This is one of those things. I hope it doesn't turn into a tragedy that Joe loses his baby.
She gets a miscarriage.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's one of those things that where it's residual bad luck and she thought she was pregnant, but she's just menopausal and she's not having a period.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Because, I mean, just how bad, like, I almost felt bad for Joe because he spent his whole life raising kids, which one of them wasn't his, then dealing with Wally coming back into his life, and now he's finally happy and, like, getting to run around naked in his house with a hot lady.
Yeah, just doing helicopter dick everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And now has got her pregnant, and it's going to now be another 18 years. So he's going to be,
look,
like,
he's a grown-ass man, and he knows about prophylactics and control, and the man didn't control his shit.
No, sometimes you got to just let it loose inside of
her. Oh, he was rough riding.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Wouldn't you rough ride her, too?
She's pretty good looking.
Yeah, damn right you would. I mean, I can't blame Joe, but, I mean, here's the thing. Do we know if he had another kid? Like, how many kids did he have in the comic books? He had Wally, right? And he had Iris.
Yeah. See, and I think the rest of the West were cousins.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point of, like, the Blue Valley thing. I think the Blue Valley is where
that's
the West,
kid, yeah,
where the West from. Were from.
Yeah.
Because Wally wasn't really his kid.
Right.
It was, right? An aunt or I think a cousin an aunt, or nephew
something like,
thing?
Yeah, something like that. So, dude, I don't know, man. This is interesting. I mean, it's a big-time bomb, and I don't know where we're going with it. Obviously, that's how Joe reacted is exactly how I reacted.
I saw the funniest meme after that. It was her on one side telling him, and the other side was Joe, and it was cut out. And on the back of him was the blue screen of death, and it's Joe.exe not responding.
That's amazing.
Dude, she had a couple of siblings.
Was that your face when you got told that you were going to have HQ?
No.
No,
we were trying.
Oh, you were excited. Okay. You weren't just like, what the fuck?
He had a Rudy West and a Charlotte West. So there could be two in there.
Oh, great. Twins. Fuck. That never ends well. Anyways. All right. So with that, guys, we are going to jump into a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the goofy stuff that happened in the episode and maybe, you know, Flash getting back to its roots. So with that, guys, a quick break.
What's up, baby?
Yo, groupies.
AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with free gifts. Go to AdamandEve.com and you will find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs.
Maybe condoms, Joe.
And maybe condoms, you know, Joe West. And there's more. We're giving you 10 free gifts that doesn't include condoms, a gift for her, a gift for him, plus a special gift you and your partner will both like, and it's probably a dildo, plus 6 full-length adult DVDs and free shipping. So head over to AdamandEve.com and enter offer code RAINMAN, that's RAINMAN, at checkout. Go get them dildos.
Baby, my love is true. With you is where I wanna be.
Girl, all right, guys, we're back. I'm still dancing to that sexy song. Now, we talked about in the last segment, we're talking about, you know, some of the more serious stuff. Let's talk about some of the goofy shit that went on in this episode. And by goofy, I mean funny. This season, it looks like Flash is really getting back to its roots with it being more of the laid back, funny show, you know, not emo Barry from Spider-Man 3. We're getting more of Barry being Barry. Is that, I guess, the right way to describe it?
Yes.
Right. One of the things that was asked is, do you really think they went too far this week with the goofy moments? And I really don't think so. I think with Flash, sometimes you really got to have those episodes.
And I wouldn't even blame it on the episode, like, or them trying to be ultra goofy. And again, I brought this up because it was part of the complaints on the internet that, like, why is Flash...
What? The internet complained?
Yes, weird. Why is Flash doing this?
Yeah.
And it was like, did you not watch the show and see the character that was involved? We had a bad luck villain.
Yeah.
So, of course, how do you show bad luck?
It has to be funny, right?
You know, and...
or relatable.
Yeah, and just random things happening that right. might be funny. It might be just like over-the-top things that you don't expect. Because that's what bad luck is. It's not, oh, I was scratching this lottery ticket and I didn't win any money.
Yeah, that's not bad luck.
Yeah, I was scratching this ticket. I got hit by a fucking car.
Yeah, I was walking around outside. It wasn't raining. Got struck by lightning. Like that. That's bad luck. Not, you know.
So they had to go to the like kind of the goofy side of it right. to make it flash. You know, bad luck.
Well, I think too, like with the bad guy, and we talked about it in the last segment, but it's like. This is a character that doesn't know that they have powers, okay? And for them to play it up like, oh, I'm this bad villain that can make you have bad luck, like that would have been stupid. It made way more sense to have this character that goes through all these trials and true bad luck, you know, air quote bad luck, but true bad luck to go to the complete opposite with luck. But no, I didn't think, you know, that this week was the slapstick or the one-liners or whatever was over the top. I thought it made sense for the character that we have. You know, if we had some badass, you know, if we had Reverse Flash, okay, it's not going to be goofy like this. It's going to be, you know, Barry, I'm going to kill you. Like, it's going to be serious. Mm-hmm. A villain like this, how do you make a villain like this serious? You can't. You really, really can't. And if you did, it would be dumb.
You don't, but they did a really good job on her, I thought. And it, just looking at her profile, like on the DC Wiki or whatever, they did a really good job, I think, of bringing her to life. The costume and everything was you know, in the casino, a throwback right, to the right. character. Awesome. And I don't mind the slapsticky stuff. I think that's what makes that show fun.
Compared to the Arrowverse in general, that's what makes Flash different. And I think, yeah. you know, you're right. Her
it has humor, right? And Supergirl has heart. You got heart and you have humor and then you have just dark and brooding. And
you've got Legends, which is kind of a mix of everything. And that was the whole point of Legends to begin with. So this made sense. You know, I don't understand. Like, look, dude, you're going to go on the internet and someone's going to hate something. It's just how it is. But I don't understand this hate. This hate doesn't make any sense to me. Because I'd never once during this episode thought, oh God, you know, this is going to be super stupid or that was dumb or like, I never had that feeling.
And it was one of those things, like even with the marble thing with Barry, I was like, that is,
it's fucking hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's a kind of cute throwback to, you know, like Three Stooges type thing.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'll bet you this. I'll make a bet right now. I'll guarantee in the comics he slipped on marbles at least one point or a banana peel. Yeah, let's be completely honest.
But
that's
know what?
Comics in general.
If he's going that fast, I said this to Nicole, if he's going that fast and he hits marbles, isn't he hitting the ground with such force? Wouldn't it just crack the shit out of that pavement?
You don't know, man. Maybe he runs on his tippy toes.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Well, you know, inertia and all that.
He immediately started Googling. He's like, I'm going to find out with the inertia.
Yeah, I can't wait till Mythbusters takes this one on. Dear Mythbusters. Is that still a show?
I think they brought it back, did they
okay.
not?
Dear Mythbusters. In episode, what, 3 of season 3 or 4, four whatever or we're four. On,
yeah.
on Flash, Barry trips on marbles. How fast can a man go and not trip on marbles? Thank you.
How the fuck would they test that?
They wouldn't.
Yeah. They'd be like, busted. I do want to talk about
this. It'd be like a fucking cheetah or something trying to run across marbles.
I do want to talk about the unlucky scene a little bit. That was, we talked about a little bit before, but I really do want to reiterate how well done that was. Like you said, Bob, it was the right amount of funny and it was the right amount of scenes to make me go, oh God, this girl has awful luck. And what it did was,
I'm talking about the unlucky scene with going into the bank robbery.
Well, right. So I'm piggybacking both.
Sorry.
Okay. So there's the unlucky scene in the beginning where we see how shitty that was, but then we see, which was great because it paralleled with how lucky she had gotten with the robbery, with the walk in and out, because you first see her having the worst luck you've ever seen. And now you see her have the best luck walking literally into a bank and walking out and nobody even bats an eyelash and like doesn't even notice her. But she affects all these people around her, you know? Like, that was...
Was she walking at normal speed while everybody else was going slow?
Yeah. Yes. And almost half prancing about while she did it. Yeah.
I mean, she looked pretty good. I was okay with slow motion at that point, with that red dress on. She could have slow motion...
Oh, Jesus.
She could be the Not Another Teen Movie slow motion where she walks in and everyone has to stop.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be okay with that, dude. I'd be okay with that. But I think... That was cool. That scene was very well done, and it definitely gave us the parallel with the first scene with how unlucky she had gotten, and then it showed us exactly how lucky she had gotten. She walks right into the bank vault, which I don't think they put stacks of cash in the bank vault anymore. Pretty sure that's not a thing. But the fact of the matter is she just walks in and just grabs cash like it's nobody's business and then walks out with two sacks of cash. I'm like, damn, that's pretty cool. That's a good haul, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that that was a very good contrast scene from the first time we meet her to now that she has powers. We get to see exactly what her powers do. So
Ryan, back to your question about the marbles. Comicbook.com reports it's a throwback to the original Flash TV show in the 90s. Apparently there was a scene where Flash was chasing after Mark Hamill as the trickster, and the trickster gets in a car and drops a bunch of marbles from the trunk onto the street, and bada bing, bada boom.
What do you know?
There you go.
There you go.
It's a little homage.
No, they always do that. They're usually throwing back to something.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love that
aspect.
It
is cool that they do that. Let's talk about the casino a little bit. I want to talk about when she's in there with Barry, and she goes to the crap table. First of all,
the crap table.
Yeah, when she's throwing craps and she gets snake eyes for like the 37th time in a row. And she won $2 million. I mean...
I must have got up to pee at that scene.
Yeah,
probably
it was
bit
right at the beginning.
Yeah.
All I remember was the slot machine and her basically having an O right there.
She did have an O. She was... what was she saying? Cherry pop cherry?
Yes, cherry pop cherry. I was like,
she
Jesus.
Wanted her cherry pop?
This is a children's show.
Yeah,
my
like
God.
This is a family show. We can't be talking about popping cherries and whatnots. You know, that's a little too risque. But...
She wanted it.
I would have obliged. But I definitely liked that scene. Again, we're showing just how lucky she's become. And I think with that at that time, too, the dark matter presence around her was growing. So it made sense. You know, like I'm like, how are they going to show her like being super lucky? And of course, back at the casino, winning snake eyes like 37 times in a row. Like, OK, first of all, wouldn't you change it? Like they should have been like, all right, this is your seventh set of dice. Like, I feel like. The casino would have been like, all right, you're fucking cut off. Like, I feel like that's a thing, isn't it? Or am I just fucking talking on my ass?
Well, all the eyes in the sky were probably broken, right? If she's affecting everything around her.
That's a good point. I guess I didn't think about that one.
Everything was haywire for everybody else. They were too busy.
I did like that scene. What does Barry trip on again? He trips on something in there, too. Is it coins? Trips on something.
Yeah, I think so.
He slips on coins, which I'm not sure how that works on carpet, but... definitely, and he cuffs himself, which we had talked about that earlier, but, interesting scene. I think it was, again, another good contrast to show her, her power growing, and just how lucky she is. Let's jump into Wells and Cisco because that's something that we've been missing, at least in the first three episodes. Mm-hmm. We haven't really had that kind of banter back and forth of those two, which was last season was something that we really, missed with HR. You know, we got it a little bit. But it's nice to see that again. I think, you know, we talk about it all the time and we practically blow Tom Cavanaugh being able to play 19 different versions of, you know, Harrison Wells. But it is missed. I think that banter with Cisco and having that kind of connection is missed on the show. I hope we get more of it. I don't know if
they
got
a good chemistry, the two of them.
They really do. It's like one of those things where it's like you get these two actors in a room together and they just give you gold. Like
yeah.
Everything about when they talk to each other is gold. And I think, you know, even the jokes, the jabs, you know, everything about that, even when they get mad at each other, it definitely feels realistic. And that's when, you know, you've got two actors that really click. So I'm glad that they threw that in here. I'm glad that we got to see, Wells again, or Harrison or whatever you want to call him. I'm glad we got to see that in this episode.
Yeah, you know, and he seems to be back for good now.
Which is good. I mean, we had talked about this too last
season.
Like,
we didn't want a different new Harrison.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, again, no downside to Tom Cavanaugh, you know, if he was going to end up playing another Harrison Wells. But the fact of the matter is we've gone through so many in the first four seasons that it's like we probably need to pump our brakes a little bit. I know we got infinite universe, multi-universes or whatever, but we really do need to pump our brakes. The scene that I wanted to talk about. Wait, we already did talk about people on the net complaining. So
yeah,
let's go to
final thoughts.
Okay, we did talk about that. Yeah. I'm like, wait a second. Okay, so with that, we'll jump into final thoughts. Since Steve is here, we're gonna have him go first.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I like getting it back to the roots of what made Flash fun and refreshing when it first came out, and I love the series. It's awesome. So. I had no complaints, like I said, other than the mousy voice. I thought they handled the character extremely well. It was thoughtful, and the biggest thing that was right there at the end, poor Joe, and poor bastard. It's bad enough that his house was just completely fucked, but that just cherry on top.
I do want to. I do agree. I think. Having the episode get back and having this season seem to get back to where Flash kind of got its roots in season one is really good. I think it's nice, too, that this episode wasn't heavily CGI. I think sometimes you've got to take a break from that and really not give us a ton of CGI shots, which was cool. I think they did a very good job, like you said, with the villain, making her almost seem very formidable without making her seem like a total asshole, if that makes sense, or badass. So that was neat. I'm very excited to see where we're going with the Thinker. I think he's going to be a very formidable bad guy. And I think it's nice for them to show us early. So I did like this episode a lot. Didn't really give a fuck about Wally. Let's be completely honest. Don't care. He can go off.
Nobody knew he was there.
Nobody knew he was there. So who cares? But yeah, I liked the episode a lot. Bobby, what about you?
I really have nothing to add. You guys hit it all. All right. Again, I don't feel that they're being too goofy or anything.
No, I agree.
It is, again, last season I kind of dreaded sometimes when it was coming up because I was like, oh, Jesus, this is going to be going to be depressing again. And it's nice just to know that it's going to be a fun time.
Yep. All right, guys, with that, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW, the Flash edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man Digital app. Follow us on all of our Twitters, Facebooks, Instagrams. Also, guys, stay tuned because we will be doing DC on CW Arrow Edition right after this.
Not in the mood for chit-chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.